Runway 27. Wind 220 at 15, gusting 21. You do the math in your head on final. That's a left crosswind, most of it right across the nose, and here's the honest truth. Right there is the exact moment most student pilots quietly decide they don't like landings. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the one skill that separates a pilot who happens to land in calm air from a pilot who can put the airplane down when the wind isn't cooperating, the crosswind landing. Now, before I get into it, a quick word about something I actually believe in. Our friends at AviationSoul.com make challenge coins for every step of this journey you're on. First solo, private, instrument, commercial. There's a coin for each one, and I'll tell you, the first time you grease a real crosswind landing, one that scared you a little on final, that's a milestone too. That's the day you stop being afraid of the wind. Mark the moments that matter, AviationSoul.com. So let's walk through this together. Here's why the crosswind landing is hard, and it's not the reason you think. It's not that the wind is strong, it's that a crosswind asks you to do two contradictory things at the same time. You have to keep the airplane tracking straight down the center line, and you have to keep the nose pointed straight down the runway. In calm air, those are the same thing. In a crosswind, they are not, and your brain, your student brain, wants to pick one and ignore the other. Let me explain what the wind is actually doing to you. When you're on final in a crosswind, the air mass itself is moving sideways across the ground. The airplane is sitting in that air mass like a boat in a river current. If you point the nose straight at the runway and do nothing else, the wind pushes the whole airplane sideways, and you drift off the center line. You've all felt it. You line up beautifully a mile out, and by short final, you're somehow off to the side wondering how you got there. You didn't fly off the center line. You got blown off it. So we have two tools to fix this, two techniques. And the examiner and the airman certification standards want you to understand both because they solve the problem in two different phases of the approach. The first tool is the crab. The crab is simple and it's efficient. You turn the whole airplane slightly into the wind so the nose is pointed a little bit upwind of the runway center line. Not much, just enough. Now the airplane is flying slightly sideways relative to the runway, but its actual path across the ground tracks straight down the center line. Think about swimming across a river. You don't aim at the dock, you aim upstream and the current carries you to the dock. Same idea. The nose points into the wind, the ground track stays true. The crab is comfortable, the airplane is coordinated, the ball is in the center. Your passengers are happy. And on a long final in a strong crosswind, this is the natural, relaxed way to fly the approach. But here's the problem with the crab. You cannot land in a crab. If you touch down with the nose pointed off to the side, your wheels are moving one direction and they're pointed another direction. And the moment the rubber grabs the pavement, the airplane tries to swing violently to line the fuselage up with its direction of travel. That's a side load on your landing gear that those bungees and struts were never designed to take. At best it's ugly, at worst you're off the side of the runway. So the crab gets you down, final, but it cannot be how you touch down. That brings us to the second tool, the wing low method, the slip. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training, because it took me way too long to feel it. The slip is not a trick. The slip is just you, manually splitting apart those two jobs and handling each one with a different control. Watch how this works. You use aileron to control your position over the runway. You use rudder to control where the nose is pointed. That's it. That's the whole secret. In a crosswind slip, your hands and your feet are doing two completely different jobs, and for the first time in your training, they are not moving together. Let's build it up piece by piece. Left crosswind, wind coming from your left. Step 1, you're drifting right, because the wind from the left is pushing you right. To stop drifting right, you lower the left wing. You bank gently into the wind. That little bit of bank makes the airplane want to slide left, back toward the center line, and it cancels the wind's push. Now you're holding your position over the runway with aileron. You're not turning, you're just tilting the airplane into the wind by the exact amount you need. But wait, if you bank left and do nothing else, the airplane starts to turn left. The nose swings off the runway. We can't have that. The nose has to stay pointed straight down the pavement. Step 2, you push in right rudder. Top rudder, we call it. Opposite the bank, that rudder holds the nose straight down the center line, even though the wing is down. Now the airplane is crossed up, left wing low, right rudder in, nose tracking straight, fuselage aligned with the runway, and you're flying straight down the center line in a stable, controlled slip. That is the picture. Low wing into the wind. Opposite rudder to keep the nose straight, and you hold it all the way down, through the flare, and onto the runway. Now let me tell you what the airplane feels like when you do this, because nobody describes it, and then students think they're doing it wrong. It feels uncoordinated because it is. The ball is out of center, and it's supposed to be. Your body will feel a little sideways slide in the seat. Your instinct, everything your instructor drilled into you about keeping that ball centered, is screaming at you that this is wrong. It's not wrong. In the slip, coordinated flight goes out the window. You are deliberately crossing the controls to make the airplane do two jobs at once. Let it feel weird. Weird is correct here. Let's talk about how much. Because the real skill, the thing the examiner is watching for, is that you're constantly adjusting. The wind is not constant. It gusts, it shifts. So the amount of bank and the amount of rudder are never fixed. A gust hits from the left, you drift right. You add a little more left aileron to hold position, and to keep the nose straight, you feed in a little more right rudder to match. The gust dies. You take some of both back out. You're working the airplane the entire way down. Little corrections constantly. Aileron for where you are over the runway, rudder for where the nose is pointed, over and over. If you ever find yourself flying down final in a crosswind with your feet flat on the floor and your hands still, you're not flying a crosswind. You're just watching one happen to you. Now, here's the part that trips up more applicants than any other single thing. The rollout. You've done it. You held the slip. You touched down on the upwind main wheel first, the left main, then the right main, then the nose. Beautiful. You're rolling out. And every fiber of your being wants to relax and let go of the controls. Do not let go of the controls. Here's why. You just slowed down from flying speed to rolling on the ground. But the wind did not stop. That 15 gusting 21 is still hammering your airplane from the left, except now you're a slow, light airplane rolling on the pavement with almost no aerodynamic authority left. A gust can pick up that upwind wing and start to flip you. It's called a wingtip strike, or worse, and it happens on the rollout. After the hard part is supposedly over, to pilots who mentally clocked out at touchdown. So as you slow down, you keep flying the airplane. You progressively add more aileron into the wind. By the time you're at taxi speed, that yoke should be turned hard over into the wind, full deflection, holding that upwind wing down. Aileron into the wind on rollout, say it to yourself. It's the single most forgotten item on a windy check ride, and it's the difference between a clean landing and a scary one. There's an old line for taxiing in wind that's worth knowing. Climb into the wind. Dive away from it. When the wind is ahead of you, aileron into it and yoke back like you're climbing. When the wind is behind you, aileron away and yoke forward. But on the crosswind rollout, the one that matters, it's simple. Turn into the wind and hold it there. Let me give you a real scenario. The way it actually unfolds. You're a fresh student, maybe 15 hours. Your instructors had you doing pattern work all morning in calm air, and you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Then around 11, the wind picks up like it does, and it's now blowing right across the runway. First approach, you crab down final, feeling smooth, and then in the flare, you completely forget to transition out of the crab. You touch down sideways, the airplane lurches. Your instructor catches it, and you taxi back convinced you have no talent. You have plenty of talent. You just skip the transition. Here's the fix, and this is the technique that made it click for me. You don't have to slip the whole way down final if you don't want to. You can crab down final, relaxed and coordinated, all the way to short final. And then in the last 100 feet or so, right before the flare, you smoothly transition, you take out the crab with rudder, straightening the nose down the runway, and at the same time, you lower the upwind wing with aileron to stop the drift. Crab to slip, you kick it straight, and you lower the wing in one smooth blended motion. And now you're set up to land. Crab down final, slip to land. That's a perfectly good way to fly it, and for a lot of students it's easier than holding a full slip for a mile. Some pilots prefer the wing low slip the whole way down because it gives you an early honest answer to one critical question. Do I have enough rudder? Because there is a limit. Every airplane has a maximum demonstrated crosswind component. You'll find it in the pilot's operating handbook. And I want to be careful with the words here because this matters. That number is not a legal limit. It's the strongest crosswind a test pilot demonstrated during certification. It's a demonstration, not a regulation, but it's a very good clue about the airplane's capability, and more importantly, about yours. If you're down in the slip and you've run out of rudder, your foot is on the floor and the nose still won't come straight. The airplane is telling you something plain and simple. The crosswind is too strong for this configuration right now. That is not a failure. That is you gathering information. Go around, try less flaps, which gives you a little more speed and a little more rudder authority. Or go find a runway that's pointed more into the wind. Making that call is not weakness. It's command. Which brings me to the ACS, because I promised we'd talk about what the examiner actually wants. On your private pilot check ride, the crosswind landing is a required task, and the standards are specific. The examiner is looking for you to touch down on the upwind main wheel first at the proper pitch attitude within a specified distance of a point on the runway. They want the longitudinal axis of the airplane aligned with and over the centerline. Nose straight, tracking true. And they want to see you maintain crosswind correction and directional control throughout the rollout. Read that last part again. Throughout the rollout, the ACS specifically calls out the thing everybody forgets. They are watching your ailerons on the ground. So the examiner is looking for three things, really upwind wheel first. Fuselage straight down the centerline at touchdown, and that aileron coming in progressively as you slow down, nail those three, and you've flown a crosswind landing to standard. Let me leave you with the practical takeaway, the thing to carry into your next flight. Go find a crosswind on purpose, on a breezy day with your instructor, when the wind is off the runway a little, don't avoid it. That's the day to practice. Fly the approach and just talk it out loud. Aileron for my position, rudder for my nose. Say it as you fly it, because naming the job with the control keeps your hands and feet from defaulting back to moving together. And here's a drill that's pure gold. Ask your instructor to let you fly the length of the runway in a slip, 10 or 20 feet up, holding the airplane straight down the center line without landing. Wing low, top rudder, nose straight, tracking the line. Just hold it and feel it. You're not trying to land. You're teaching your feet and your hands to disagree with each other in a controlled way. That single exercise will do more for your crosswind landings than 100 greasers in calm air. The wind is not your enemy. Once you understand it, the crosswind is just a problem with a known solution, and the solution lives in your hands and your feet. My thanks to the FAA and the Airman Certification Standards for the task specifics we walked through today, and to every pilot's operating handbook out there that quietly lists the demonstrated crosswind number for your airplane. Go look yours up tonight. You'll find more at RadioHangar.com. Next time the windsock is standing straight out and everyone else is on the ramp waiting for calm, go fly. That's the day you actually learn something. This is pattern. Keep it on the center line.